Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
I wanna bring up something. I wanna talk about something the Lubavitcher Rebbe said and something my son Moshe said.
Really? Bring them to Moshe.
Sorry. A mother tried to call and couldn't get through and is here with her son. Yes, I must. I wanna share. Martha, you'll bring them in.
Yeah.
Make them comfortable. Tell them we're very into mixed shiurim. We're very liberal here.
You know you go to Montana.
Yeah. Thank you.
Obviously.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You'll run a good trip. You know he's running your trip.
Oh, I know.
Bang. It's true. So Maishi brought up on Shabbos, as he come closer, Maishi brought something that like tickled me. I want to bring it up. I don't so much want to say a teretz. More I want to share that it made me think a lot. It really, it's Rev Geisler, Maishi's Rebbe, my Rebbe. He's impacted us. I feel like thinking like this definitely was influenced by the Rebbe. But whatever it's influenced from, I'd like to share in this. We all know the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there's a point that this year Maishi brought up from the Sfas Emes and intrigued me a lot. And when Maishi asked, why are we so busy talking to Paray? Why is Paray so much part of this story? It's interesting. The Rambam himself asks that Hashem hardened Paray's heart. And Paray's not going to send the Jewish people. So the Rambam asks, what's with this whole charade? Go to Paray. Paray's going to say no. Go back to him. Paray's... What's the whole charade with Paray? We're in Mitzrayim and God's going to take us out. We got out of many difficult situations. The whole Mitzrayim, Paray dies, and Beseder, and we don't deal with Paray. What is the sugya? What's the sugya that it's so busy, and even this week's parasha is B'shalach Paray Yisam. Paray sends us out. Why are we so busy with Paray? We don't need Paray. He's the king of Mitzrayim. Hashem stops his heart and bang, there is no Paray. Hashem doesn't think about Paray for a minute and there's no Paray. He's wait for a second, God's Messiah Das, and there's no Paray. What is the busyness with Paray sending us out of Mitzrayim, Azi? And there's a whole Maishra Rabbeinu, go to Paray. The whole sugya starts, go to Paray and speak to him. Maishra Rabbeinu constantly goes back, and Hashem works to keep Paray in the picture. V'chazik es lev Paray. Hashem hardens Paray's heart, and finally Paray granted... We don't need to work through Paray. Hashem is so busy working Yetzias Mitzrayim through Paray. At the end, finally, Hashem brings him to the Yam, and there ends Paray. Why is the busy with Paray letting us out? It's like such, it's such a strange, he's so right. Hashem, get rid of Paray. Hashem could take care of Paray. No problem. Zero. Like, zero problem. But no, there's a sugya, Moshe go to Paray, speak to Paray, hardening Paray's heart. Paray decides, he says, it's such a strange sugya, till Paray, like finally, B'shalach Paray sa'am, Paray sends us out, but then Hashem again entices Paray, and then Hashem, why is the busy of Paray sending us out? That's what Moshe asks. It intrigued me a lot. It's actually a very interesting point. It seems like a massive point of getting out through Paray. I'll tell you something that it made me think of. I really like the question more than I want to tell you my answers. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He wants us busy. We're busy with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe. We wear tefillin, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mezuzah, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush Friday night, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sukkot, every Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, it dominates our life. It's probably kedai to think. It's funny, it's a point I never thought much about. The only time I really thought about it is the Rambam. The Rambam does ask that what's the charade of Moshe constantly going to Paray, and Hashem was not going to let Paray let us out. He hardened his heart. So what is this? The Rambam asks that. This Svasem is, why is the need for Paray giving us Rishus? Paray's, and the parish is called Bishalach. Vahi Bishalach Paray Esam. Paray sent us out. Paray sent us out. I mean, well, he was beating the stuffings for a year. Dumb Svardeg. Yeah, and at the end he said, oh, just get out of here. But no, Bishalach Paray Esam. Paray sent us out.
Are you asking why are we talking about it, or why did it happen?
Both. Why are we talking? But it seems like an important space. Paray's involvement is very important here, Azzi. Is the observation, before we offer a teretz, Azzi, is the observation like interesting? To me, it's interesting. We can't, Hashem's talked to us. It's like a weird, Hashem gets rid of Paray, done. Hashem changes the whole country, flips the whole country. Taking care of Paray is no big deal. It's funny that we're living a situation. Eretz Yisrael has next door had Hezbollah. You have this whole situation, Hezbollah. And like in a few minutes, the army, like they did some pagers, they get Nisrallah, like bang, and then there's no Hezbollah. Hashem, like he runs the world. It's not like a big problem. But there's a big adgasha, Moshe go to Paray, speak to Paray, deal with Paray, and Paray sends us out. What I wonder, and I really got it from something the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. The Lubavitcher Rebbe brought a Mechilta who says that he brings that there were four segments of Klal Yisrael. The Mechilta says there were four segments of Klal Yisrael who, when Klal Yisrael was running from Mitzrayim and Paray was chasing, he said there were four groups who had four different responses they wanted to make. One group wanted to run into the yam. They wanted to jump into the yam. That was one group. What?
They were good at swimming.
It sounds like either they were suicidal or good swimmers. Like, one of the, either they were like great swimmers, and that group thought, we'll just swim away. What's that run into the yam? The Lubavitcher Rebbe explains Ba'ifen Machshava Yisrael, what these four groups each were saying. And he discusses the jumping into the yam. And I want to share, I have seen this type of response to trauma, to difficulty, to hard situations. I have seen this in my life. And the Rebbe says that this is one of the four responses to Mitzrayim. And listen to this, Shmuel, I like this a lot. The Rebbe describes, there are four responses. He says they're all wrong. When you say they're wrong, they're instinctive, but it's not what Hashem wants. One of the, I could tell you the four responses: jumping into the yam, fight Mitzrayim, go back to Mitzrayim, or pray. And the Rebbe says all four are wrong. It's a mechilta. There were four segments of Klal Yisrael. Each had a plan, had to battle the Mitzrayim. One group wanted to jump in the yam. One wanted to fight the Mitzrayim. One wanted to go back to Mitzrayim, and one wanted to pray. Very interesting mechilta, and all four are not the wholesome approach. There's probably aspects, and nobody's completely wrong, but it's not. And the Rebbe goes through each one of those four responses, what they mean. I don't want to talk about them all now. It's not where I want to go right now, what those responses are. But I do want to talk about the one jumping into the yam. What does that mean? Like mass suicide? What does that do? You could say they knew how to swim. What is that? The Rebbe understood, Donnie, that, and we've all seen this, that a response to difficulty is just a shteig. The yam represents serving Hashem. The yam, in halacha, going into the mikvah, mayim represents things that come from the yam, are considered mesukin, you need no shechita. The yam represents a rebirth of sorts. The kavan of going into the mikvah is a person can't breathe, and I come out, I'm a new person. And the Rebbe says that they wanted to jump in the Yam means, let's just shteig. Okay, let's forget this whole world. Let's not deal with the world, and let's just become big masmidim, big tzaddikim. He says it's a trauma response. People go through difficulty. They said, okay, I'm just leaving all this. I'm going to shteig. I'm just learning. Okay, that's it. Where people even say this is a shita, just learn Torah. I know you went through this, you went through that, just learn Torah. That's the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the jumping into the Yam represents a response, forget all this. I can't deal with all this. You have to picture, we went through decades of difficulty in Mitzrayim, and a segment of Klal Yisrael, so let's just jump in the Yam. I'm not dealing with all this. Let's just learn. That's the Rebbe says is the response. Now, of course, a person should steig, but if I went through something, it's a direction. It's telling me something. And the Rebbe describes that a segment of Klal Yisrael said, jump in the Yam, means just, let me just forget all this. I know I went through that. I'm just ignoring it. I'm just swimming. I'm just serving Hashem. It means a complete disconnect from everything I went through. I'm ignoring it all. Okay, just steig. There is such people and such reactions and people who want to do that. Just learn. Like, forget everything. Just... And it's interesting. It's actually interesting. The Gemara speaks about response to difficulty. Daga b'levish. The pasuk, a very vague pasuk, Maish. There are guys in yeshiva who think this response says, Daga b'levish, if you have worries in your heart, yisichena. It's a machlaikus in the Gemara, Michal. If yisichena means talk about it, yisichena lacherim, or yisichena means hesach hadas, forget about it. And one man, the Omer in the Gemara, says, if you have worries, just forget about it. Now, that sounds remarkably dangerous. And we need the Gemara, one pshat in the Gemara, yisichena. Yisichena midaita, forget about it. It's one sheet in the Gemara. Now, you never have machlaiks and mikats ala kats so extreme. One man, the Omer, says, think about it and deal with it, talk about it. The other says, forget about it. It's machlaikas in the Gemara. Worries and troubles, machlaikas, how to learn a pasuk, amazing. It's funny, in the world of therapy, there's something called CBT, DBT, behavioral type of therapies. I put all those in the character of Tamshich Allah, move forward. Learn how to healthy. It's very old school type of therapy, is CBT. That's like Yisichen Allah, Yisichen Amita, just forget about it, move forward. Now, I doubt they're arguing extremes, I doubt it. In Gemara, it's called mikatz ala katz. You never assume. And in all modalities, there has to be both. There has to be the grieving what was. If somebody with avelus, we all have, I'm in the middle of mourning. The halacha is not to forget about it. I promise, it's not the halacha. I'm not allowed to forget about it. There's a Super Bowl party in yeshiva. I don't think I'm allowed to go. I'm in mourning. I'm not allowed to go. Now, I'm the guy who needs a Super Bowl party. I should get extra beers. I should push it. And Chazal say, don't forget, you have to feel your story. Feel it, feel it. I promise we're all good at ignoring our stories. It's brought up a lot of things. I feel like I'm back to 3, 4, 5, 10. It's brought up a lot of things. You go back to a tata, to lose a tata, brings you to a lot of places. It brings you all different places, very beautiful and hard and interesting. It's a sugya. So, and Chazal make us think. So I doubt one says, just forget about everything. And probably there's a degree of pushing forward. Even when people go back, there's a degree of pushing forward. They have to say, let's move on. There's a degree of that. I don't know. So what's the machlaikis? I don't know. It fascinates me. The Gemara has two shittas. Daga b'levish, you see, chena, just forget about it or speak about it. I doubt it's the complete extremes, Michal, but if they're arguing how much, so what's the ikker, I don't know. It could be what's the ikker thing. I don't know. I'm not clear.
When I was in the Smedrash, and we came here for a Shabbos once, Rabbi Radi spoke about this tomorrow, and he presented it not as machlekes, but as an order, that If it is something which you can be using kind of to do that, which you can do that, and if you try that and it fails, then speak about it.
Interesting. So you have to like be honest. If you could just forget, it's okay. Some things just happen. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's hard. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's hard. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe.
Is
Yeah, it's a daga. So I'm not clear. Hashem sent me something. I'm not clear to that. I'm not clear, but I hear what you're saying. What I want to say, Hever, what I want to say, and this is what makes me think about it, that Hashem says, speak, and Maishi said this on Shabbos. I'm not saying Chedushim. Maishi quoted the Sfas Emes remarkably. Maishi quoted the Sfas Emes, and it really made me think about this, that we leave Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is that place of stuck, of difficulty. We were there for 86 years of crazy labor and pain. And getting out of Mitzrayim is speaking to Paray, talk to Paray, ask Paray to free us. Hashem hardens Paray's heart. What that says to me is the path out of Mitzrayim is not to ignore what was. Paray represents, he's Mitzrayim itself. He's the one who puts us in Mitzrayim, enslaves us in Mitzrayim. The path out of Egypt is not to destroy it, it's to understand it. It's taking you somewhere. Ultimately, Paray sends you out of Mitzrayim. Ultimately, the places you go, B'shalach Paray Asa'am. The thing we went through, it guides us and tells us something and brings us somewhere. So it's not just like, okay, and Paray ceases to exist. Oh, that nightmare's over. When I actually like get into my sugya, it tells me, Can I tell the guys something that interests me? If you have a kasha and you think about a kasha, how do you think about a kasha? You have had a big kasha, and you say, okay, let's think of you and your chavrus, you have a bomb kasha. How do you think about a kasha? This could be a little trippy, Maish. What does it mean to think about a kasha? God, let it flow. You know, people crinkle their fig. It's funny, but people want to think. So let me think for a minute. What are you doing? What do you think for a minute? What's happening? Because you make a funny face.
About anything else.
Do you clear your head? Do you know what the main way? Maish says clearing your head, like relaxing. Maybe it's funny. The face of thought is not like that. By the way, if you ever see a painting of a thinker, a philosopher, there's like a certain pose where they lean back and they're very calm. The actual like that is not really the face of thinking. By the way, your shtick, right? How do you think about something? Now the guys are going to think about this. This is a shtickle trippy. I want to tell you, I like thinking about questions. Is I ask the question again. I try to feel bothered by the question. Okay, let me think again. And I review what bothers me. Because what bothers you actually leads you somewhere. I ask the question again. Okay, let me think about this. And I ask the question a second time. I sit in the problem where I need to be bothered again. I need to be angry. I need to get, when I'm very angry, to my angriest place, I get to places. To me, thinking about a kasha is making. See, we could both have a kasha, and then I'm like, my mind got distracted. Okay, let me go back to that place. I say again the information. Oh! Okay, one more time. I want to think about a kasha, Shlomo, to me is to ask the question again and again. And when I'm bothered, it actually like leads me somewhere. It's saying something to me. The very question takes me somewhere. I'm quoting you on Shabbos, Mesh. The question is electric. What's so busy with Paray is, I was telling them Lubavitcher Rebbe, who says that there were four responses to Paray coming down on us. And he says four, and each one was wrong. He brings a mechilta, and one of them was jump in the yam. And he says jump in the yam is just steig. Like, you went through, I know, but let's learn, let's go. That's a response to difficulty. That's jump in the yam, the Rebbe. So he said it's wrong. Hashem said everything was just by accident. He said the problem was taking you somewhere. So Maishi taught us, and perhaps this Sfas Emes, Paray getting us out of Mitzrayim means what you went through was bringing you somewhere. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't forget it. Don't just do away the nightmare. It was taking, Hashem was taking. It's funny, I have a very external story with my Rebbe, but it guides me on internal things, the pnimiyus thing of things. One of my Rebbeim, I have a friend who grew up in Russia, and he went through a lot in youth. When he was older, to me, the Yidden who came from there, like the loftiest Yidden in Klal Yisrael. I love, anybody knows, if we're not taking anybody in yeshiva, if you just say the family has roots in Russia, they're in, like, this game over. I love, Chabad came from Russia, Altov Nevardi from Russia, Reb Moshe from Russia, the Yidden there, a lot of our people, my wife's family, thankfully, my wife's family has their roots there. That's like the Yidden of Russia, because communists try to take us away from Hashem, and we're a people who can't be moved. And we have great roots, the Yidden who came from the holy Kodesh Kodashim. Now, what was I getting? I lost my train of thought, Mesh. Oh, so this friend was born in Russia, and my Rebbe was upset at him that when many Yidden came out of Russia, he wanted this guy to go speak to them, and he forgot Russian. It was associated with a lot of trauma, and he like didn't, and my Rebbe like said to him, why didn't you like keep speaking the language? He felt like if you went through it, there's something to do with it. And that's in a superficial thing, you know the language, so talk to people. But in a very pneumistic way, the things we go through are not nightmares just meant to ignore. They're actually directing us somewhere and telling us something and bring out things that we have to offer to the world. Paray telling us, this word that Paray needs to free us from Mitzrayim means that the difficulty directs and guides somewhere. It's not just meant, just jump into the Yam and forget your experience. No, it's not that way. Your experience, the Kasha, tells us something. It directs us. It guides us. It encourages. It teaches us something. A lot of people who went through difficulty decide to be psychologists. I would say, like, people have childhood trauma. Like, if you give a percentage, a crazy number, could I tell you what they're really feeling? I don't think all of them should be therapists. I don't, that's not what you have to do. You can help people not being a therapist. Though it's a good idea if somebody's a therapist. Ashrecha. I think what people's insides are really feeling is it has to be, I went through this for a purpose. And they're right. And they're right. They're saying, let me be a therapist. I don't think that's, I think that's like almost a cheap answer. Don't be a therapist, just be more present for your children. There's other answers. I'm not arguing on that answer or not. If somebody's a therapist, it's a huge help to people. But I think the shirish of what the guy's feeling deeply is I went through something, it has to be for a purpose. It has to direct and guide me. It's telling me something. It's directing me. I think that's very, very important. Things we went through are telling us something and speaking to us. And Maishi, if I'm understanding what Maishi said, I don't need to blame it on that. The question is electric. That Paray has to send us out, that we're handling with Paray. It's like, so, it's just true. He's right. What's the busyness? Go back to Paray, speak to Paray. To me, that's chazering the Kesha. The way to come to any answers, you ask the question again. Paray sends you somewhere means what I went through as something. It's Hashem wants something from me. What he's taking me somewhere. It's funny. I don't know if you've ever, when we go through, we say, Hashem, what do you want from me? We yell at Hashem like that. It's like there's a truth to what we're saying. He's taking me, sir. What we could say if you change the voice from an angry voice. What do you want from me, God? I don't get it. You're right on your question. What do you want from me? Where are you taking me? He is taking us. There's a sense. Now, we say it angrily, understandably. But if you say the same words more calmly, Hashem, what do you want from me? Where are you taking me? What are you bringing? Ask the question again. This is crazy. Why would a youngster have to have this and that? Ask the question again. There's some direction. Now, again, sometimes we can't figure out. I don't know. That's part of Gullus, is not having the answers. So I don't take cheap answers and sit with the Kasha for 35, 50 years. Don't take a cheap answer. But understand that Paray frees us from Mitzrayim. B'shalach Paray Yisam. I have seen youngsters and people, all different types of Kashas, and gradually like they have like a certain direction. It talks to them and tells them something. B'shalach Paray Yisam. So what you said, Maish, to me was like very magical, very cool. I like it. I like what you said. Again, nobody has a monopoly on the Teretz. Hashem's telling us something. Paray's sending us places. Now, by the way, at the end, Paray dies. Paray, but it's interesting that it's only after he sends us out and he sent us somewhere and we got out from him, then there's no need for him. Pare disappears. It's true. We vanquish a pare, but there's a space for pare. And what we went through, there's a space for that. There's just the truth to this in all our stories and all our Mitzrayim. Something's happening. Something's directed. Again, don't settle for cheap answers. I mean, Lav Dafka will have a full answer to it. In the Torah Akdaisha, I would say almost a theme of the Torah, it says 36 times in different ways in the Torah to be nice to Gerim, because you were Gerim. Now there's a theme to that. Things we went through, like understand, it makes me crazy, Maish. When guys are mean, and my kids know this, when people are mean, it's when people are mean to the outsider. People are mean. It's instinctive of human beings. If you go anywhere on planet Earth, you go any country in the world, any first grade in the entire world, they'll be mean to the oddball. It's not. It's amazing. You know, who taught these kids that? Go to Japan, China, Mexico, United States. Go to any first grade anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, and you see the kid who's different than everybody else, the kids will be mean to him. Instinctive. It's an instinct to reject the oddball. It's instinctive. It's instinctive. It's literally, it's not taught. It's what people do. He's different. She's different. It's what people do. We have a Torah, Ava Sager. One people are instructed, he's different, pull him in.
Racism comes from?
Of course. It's instinctive. There's a Polish philosopher, Emil Polyay. Emil Polyay says, where there is no Jew, we invent the Jew. If there is no Jew, we make a Jew. We always have like the outsider. I was at a meeting in Blue Ridge. I almost took a guy's head off. We're at a meeting, and a guy said a line. You can't make some. I thought much, I wasn't hearing him. A meeting in Blue Ridge, that meeting about a topic, and one guy says, the renters. It was like hysterical. He made a class of people. You know, you have people who own a house. Nobody ever in any conversation like divided Blue Ridge. The people who own, and he said the renters. I almost took the guy's head off. The renters. He was trying to make his own Jew.
I'm not uncomfortable.
A guy in a meeting. The renters. People love that. You think a freshie is just the way people will make up a freshie. It's all different ways of making a Jew. We love doing this, the outsider, the different. We create it.
So this different, so technically everyone's like valuable.
But we like taking a collective. Somehow it feels safe for us. We find the space that we all own. They're the renters. And like it picks us up automatically. And then we have like this group that's different. This is a tendency. There's one people that's commanded, Ava Sager, to love the outsider. That's Yidden. And it says, you were always the outsider. You're clueless. For a Yid to say, I wanted my kids to know this. For a Yid ever to say, that kid is from, you know, he's from Russia. That's us. That's the story of our lives. Buddy, my grandfather came to Czechos. We've lived this way for 2,000 years, our people. Your kids are clueless. If your kid in first grade, don't be upset him. Just teach him. Buddy, tell him about your grandfather. I want my kids. I promise you, growing up, I wanted my kids to know our family history. You're like clueless. You haven't taught them about us. We've always been outsiders. Our grandpas came here. They couldn't speak the language. We all, to make fun of somebody, could you imagine coming to shul by Aleinu and you make fun of a guy who comes by the yom that he comes late to shul? You just came to shul. We're outsiders. It's part of what a Yid always, we've always been Gerim. The formation of our people was in Mitzrayim. And we've had a long history of traveling and being the outsiders. And we're mitzvah to incorporate our experience, be good to Gerim. You yourself went through that. There are many, many tzaddikim. Rev Matisyahu Salomon, Zecher Tzaddik, Kodesh Levracha, was unbelievable Talmanis and Yisayimim. We benefited in yeshiva. He had a rule. He was one of the busiest people in the world. If you were a Yassim, you went to his house. You called him up, were Yisayimim, every single Friday night before he went home, he would make Kiddush for a few Almanis. one of the challenges of an almana is to feel separate from the community. A husband's job is to bring the mishpacha to the community. There's no husband the person could feel like. We're disconnected. Ramatzio Salman would go and make Kiddush. You know how deep that is? Come, Meg, you're part of the killer. Excuse me, you're part of the killer. He'd go, before he'd go home, this in Lakewood, people were kissing his shoes. He was like the most respected. When he left shul, people, I want to talk to you. Excuse me, I'm going to Mrs. So-and-so's house. And he'd make Kiddush there. You're part of the killer. You're part of the killer. You're part. You're included. Come, you're in. You're in. Such a, why, how do you have such a sensitivity? Because his mother was an almana. When he was a teenager, his father passed away. He lived it. Now, if he lived it, it means that I'm supposed to understand others. That's para, it frees us from its rhyme. It's not just a nightmare to forget. It's instructive. Now, I want to say, I don't believe, well, do you think he thought that's the terrors? Oh, I went through it to help people. I promise it's much deeper. The helping people only brings out that there's something he acquired. Maish, he never thought, I don't believe he ever thought, I went through it because I could help people. He went through it, he became something. That thing he became could help people also. It's not, I don't think he viewed it, well, I went through it to help. But you go, it's deep things. The tikkun of our souls is deep things. The sensing that it meant something to me allows me to help others and go through it also, because I've, but that's somebody who embraced what he went through, who knows what he went through, didn't ignore. It brought me somewhere. There was a journey, and I take then that experience and help another person out. That is what Maishi said to us, that the speaking to Parai, I appreciate it tremendously, that you go out, you don't, Parai doesn't cease to exist. He doesn't just disappear. He's like the ticket out. Parai sends us out. We're working with Parai. Shlomo, you liked the Maishi said this on Shabbos?
Yes,
I like it. I also liked it a lot. I like it a lot. It rings. Again, I ask the guys, don't settle for a good pshat, like think in your own life. We're learning sugya. Tzias Mitzrayim is way too relevant to you and I to just, it's a sugya relevant. Maishi, thank you. Do you have your guitar here? Let's do one, Let My People Go. I like Let My People Go in this context. But then I have other things I want to share today. You like this idea, Israel? Yeah. All right.
Perfect.
What? Instead of minimizing this.
Parai being so important as a reminder explains very well the weird anomaly that Parai lived 1,000 years, which is
like,
so
great.
We need
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. By the way, it's easy to sit here and say we need the difficulties. One of the best songs ever composed in yeshiva, Aryeh Barnett composed the song, Maybe What I Need Most. I advise the guys to listen to that song. Shem, she ever heard Aryeh Barnett's song, Maybe What I Need Most? Does anybody have a speaker here? Do you know Maybe What I Need Most? Yeah. It's a good song. The words he wrote, I played it for guys. Is this... It sounds easy to say this, but...
It's super frustrating also.
Right. I would rather it not be true. Michal, what do you hold of this? If anybody liked the verb, you don't understand it, by the way. If you're like, Maishi said this, if you like feel good about this verb, you don't understand, you're not taking it real. Because it's frustrating, because nobody wants, in a way it's rewarding, but it's frustrating because it's tough places. It's things we all want to forget about. So Yuri says correctly, Yuri says, I like that it was meant something. He's right. Right. I agree both ways. There's a rewarding part that I needed this, but it also is hard to go there. We want to avoid it. Like the Rebbe says that was the cat and Kleisel, so just jump in the yam. Like, forget everything. I'm just going. That's what the Rebbe said. He had four kitas. He explains each one. The jump in the yam cat, he says, just, I'm soaring, I'm out.
Hey!
Fighting with
his own.
Hey!
Hawaii.
Yeah.
No, maybe we should play that.
Which one? Which one do you want? He doesn't know that.
I would play.
Is anyone else in this crowd?
But
possibly anyone else? Other guitars?
I don't think they know this song. You know the song? Maybe when I post a good song.
No, I never.
Let my people go. The what?
Feel the best star is the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, was Surrender one of them?
Yeah, yes, four groups. The four groups, it's a mechilta. Jump in the Yam, fight the Mitzrayim. Four groups of Yidden responded when we were being chased. And the mechilta said, all four is a shayrish, but you need, they're not right completely. There's an aspect they're wrong. The mechilta brings this. One group is jump in the Yam, one group is go back to Mitzrayim, one group is fight the Mitzrayim, and one group is pray. He gets a drush on all four groups. The prayers, it sounds like so innocent. He said all four groups have something missing.
Wasn't going into the Yam the right answer?
What?
Wasn't going into the Yam the right answer? Meaning, what is the right
answer? Interesting. He speaks to the Rebbe, who's like, I could share with the guys. I had it on the table over Shabbos. I was focused on this. These are the songs. Let's do, let the people go. I do want to say, if anybody, this song was written way before the Matzav now. It's like so incredible. Afilu ba'astara shemesayich astara. B'vaday gam sham nimsa Hashem Yisparach. In the most hidden place, there is God. To me, this like was written for Agam Berger. Like the hostages, the most hidden places, there is Hashem. Filu ba'astarish v'sayich astar, the hidden shebehidden, there is Hashem. Let my people go, let them out. And b'nei Yerushalayim Hashem nidche Yisrael yichanes. Hashem created Yerushalayim, here a Yid is wanted, here a Yid is welcome. So that is the words of the song. Let's take it away.
Let my people go.
I had asked the Chevra that Hashem begs Klais of Matusa Minaychu, do me a favor, please take from the booty of Mitzrayim, please, Klais, take Biza Sayam. So I asked the Chevra, what a favor, like please, like to beg you, do me a favor, you take $1 million, like come on, who are you talking to? We're so it. Now Klais, we're not such money people. We like Salam Hashem, but yet like, b'matusa minaychu, do me a favor, like please, I beg you, come on. So I asked, what was the energy that Hashem has to beg us? Like, so I told you that my grandma didn't want to take war reparations from the Nazis, that she didn't want the sense that you could pay me for it. Something hit me when Maishi said this raid, and I wonder if some people didn't want, there's a simple reason not to take money. It's like, you can't pay me for my tzaras. I wonder if there's a difficulty in taking money for the rest of your life. Well, you came to money, where'd you get it from? From the Mitzri. You're attached to what happened. I wonder if there's a tremendous difficulty as you're spending, like where it came from mattered. Oh, you're spending money, where do you have it from? And you know yourself that. It attaches you, you're trying to forget what happened. How do you forget what happened when everything you're buying is from what happened? You're literally paying for things. Oh, where'd you come to? You know yourself. Oh, don't worry, dear. We got money. I have a friend who, when he was a youngster, he fell off a tree. It's a whole story of the wire. And he was electrocuted. He lost some toes and fingers. He lost toes. I don't remember if he lost. It's an old camp friend. And he made a lot of money. There was a suit and he made a lot of money playing in a backyard. He was in Kailal and he had money from his youth. Now that money reminded him of something. That's real. Now there, okay, see, but it, literally you're living off, it reminds you, it connects you to an event. I wonder if Hashem has to say, please take money. I want you connected to what happened. I wonder if that's the matusim in Aicha, because I wonder, what's the big deal? Take the money, like, please. What was the resistance to take the money? I wonder if we want a complete disconnect. I don't want to have the rest of my life, we have money from there. And Hashem says, please do me a favor, take money from there. I want you connected. Parai sent us out. It gave you something. I wonder, Yisrael. I wonder. It's interesting that it had...
A revenge when you're spending that money? Like, it's like a revenge. Like, I'm swiping my money.
Maritza says, like, I took you. You'll pay for that. But it's funny. So do you really feel, Maritza, what they did, that it pays back? It feels like totally, at least something, it feels like uneven.
Remember, you hear like by the Holocaust, they tried, like after the Holocaust, they tried giving people money, and they were like, no, I don't want to take money.
Right. Some people didn't want to take. Yeah. What's that energy of that? My grandmother didn't want to take. What's that energy?
You can't buy it back.
Right, you can't buy it back.
You can't pay me money.
It's
a pride, and it's like,
there's some pride you can't pay me for it. You're not making up this. Is there something that I don't want to be connected to it at all? I don't want to have a bank account from that.
I feel like if it's from your side, if we decided to take it on our own, then it would be connected. The second Hashem like told us like you should take it,
that's interesting.
No, if we took it ourselves,
you're so smart.
Like,
Shlomo said, Shlomo Kedarka Bakaydash. Shlomo said, if we take it, so then we struggle. They gave what to pay. He said, Hashem gave me the money. Like, I didn't even want it from him. Hashem told me, take it, helps that.
He promised us, anyways. He wouldn't have to give it to us from somewhere else.
So then I don't feel.
Why would I take it from there?
But it's funny that he wanted us to take
it
from there.
Second, we were promised it, so, like, we had to get it.
What about. It's two sides. I don't want your money versus I don't want you to be able to say it's fine.
He's right. Also, Chica says, I don't want you easing your conscience. I paid for it. I want you to feel. I don't want you to say we paid up for that. That we paid. I don't want you to.
Maybe it's like, oh, now you're sorry. Like, this is how you're
going. Right. Trust me. I'm not letting you get the way. I'm not taking this. Sorry.
No, it's like holding on. Their side, like you hurt me, so I'm gonna hold on to this.
Yeah, you're
not letting
you
give satisfaction to yourself.
You know what it reminds me? What you're both saying reminds me. Did somebody ever, did you ever say thank you to somebody and they reject your thank you?
Yes.
Rav Dessler says that sometimes when people say, you say, somebody gives you a ride and you say, thanks, Marshall. Yeah, no problem. What they're really saying is, you're not getting away with that thank you. I want something more, I want more as a payment. Like they want more money. Rav Dessler describes that sometimes, that people refuse a thank you. They're really saying, you're going to pay more than that. That's it? Like, thank you? You pay it up. I expect a lot more pay. They're just, that's a, anyway.
No, no, it's okay.
Yeah, interesting.
Then you show up late to shop here, so you're like, or like,
Chef didn't want, Like,
thank you.
It's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, very good, Sushta. Very good, very good. Good remembering back to there. The matus me
like. I was right there. Like I sharpened all the jaws right there.
The general saying good. He's saying good.
He used to be chief money
that day. Oh yeah.
Very specific.
Can I ask Shloime to do Leman Achai? I like the Leman Achai. Zusha's Leman Achai.
Which?
Zusha's Leman Achai.
Adabrana shalom.
Kevin, I want to share. I want to. What song did you want? I wanted to share, Chevra, I'm going to ask Yankiv to do a song also. What do we always do for guests? Music. What about if one of the guests' name is Nagina Music, then you have to do a song. So we're going to do some songs. I want to ask you a cash, Abby. Yankiv, before you play your song, listen to this cash. Maish, you're going to play today. Maish, I want your new song in a minute. Listen to a Kasha Chevra after this Kasha two songs, and then we'll call it a Mart. Listen to a Kasha. I want Avi. I want you to hear this Kasha. I'm curious what you think. Chica, listen to this Kasha. The Rebbeinu Shloim tells Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu that there's going to be man every single day. Yom Rishon, Yom Shani, Yom Shlishi. Every day there's man. One day, Klal Yisrael doesn't pick man. Shabbos Kodesh, you don't pick man. Friday, you do Lechem Mishnah. We spoke about this on Shabbos Kodesh. Friday, you pick a double portion. And on Shabbos, Vayikadesh, Shoyse, Hashem was Mekadesh Shabbos, no picking man. No man falls, no picking man. One of the things Hashem said about the man is you're not allowed to leave it over for the next day. Usher, Ishal yois mi menu ad boiker. Danny, you're not allowed to leave it over for the next day. You know how tempting it is. Do you understand the Nisayan? You have to picture in the desert. You eat your man, you and your family have nothing left. And you're relying that tomorrow Hashem will make another nes. Very scary, Avila. The tendency is to hide a little man somewhere in case a nes doesn't happen the next day. You're mamish bereft of everything and completely reliant on Hashem. And we added tzivui ish al yois min ad baiker. Don't leave anything over till the next day. Rely on Hashem, Moshe. Listen to this, Kashi Yankov. V'lay shamu el Moshe. There was a group that defied Moshe. V'yosiru anash mimenu ad baiker. Dasam v'aviram. Some yidden who were very not cooperative. They left over man till the morning. They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they left over man till the morning. What happened to it? Vayurem toilam. It got filled of bugs. Vayivash and got totally spoiled, unedible. Vayiktsef aleya Moshe. Moshe got mad at them. Avi, listen to this kasha. I think it's a good kasha. You hear the pasuk Shlema? So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ishal yoismen rad boiker. Chatz, listen to this kasha. Says you're not allowed to leave over man till the morning. Amazing madrega, Aaron Harel, amazing madrega, Hashem wanted us. Everyday faith. What's the simple tendency to leave over a little man? To what's going to be tomorrow? No. I'll touch it, Saras Macher, don't worry about today. Tzaddik oichal l'sayv hanafshay. A tzaddik eats, so Hashem will take care of me tomorrow. And we will mitzvah. Don't leave over Gersh. You have to write it to your, all your contacts, but first hear it. I don't like when guys write during Shir. I like first absorbing it. So you'll write it right after. Listen to this. Ishal Yosimen Rad Baker Gersh. Don't leave over any man. You pick up. What's the instinct is to leave over? Put away a little in the closet. You eat all the man. Whatever you need tomorrow, don't leave over. A group didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayasiru Anash Mimenu Ad Baker. They left over. What happened to the stuff they left over? Vayorim toilam, it got filled of bugs. Vayivash, and it got totally rotted. Unedible. Vayiksef aleya Moshe, Moshe got mad at them. Rabbi say a bomb kasha. Why does it say Moshe Rabbeinu got mad at them after it says that their plan was foiled? He was mad at them because they left over till the morning. So the pasuk should say, they didn't listen to Moshe and they left over. And Moshe gets mad. What was he mad at? The defiance. And then say, by the way, it got rotted. Why does it say it got rotted and Moshe got mad? There was once a guy in Yeshiva who on Purim got overly drunk. And an ambulance was called, and he described to me how somebody was screaming him as he was being put in the ambulance. And it upset him greatly. Here he's in an ambulance. You don't have to yell at me. The guy was saying, you're so irresponsible. You yeshiva guy. Somebody was screaming at him. And the guy correctly told him, it's not the time to yell at him. One day your kid like starts up with the bully of the class. Has like a bloody nose, chas v'shalom, on the floor. You come over. You don't start screaming at him. I told you not to fight. He's bloodied. You don't say anything. He's bloodied. This reminds me, they leave over to the morning and it didn't work. Vayiksev alei Moshe. Moshe's all mad. I mean, it didn't work. The Pasuk Sapella. Moshe was mad before their punishment. L'chayre, the Vayiksev alei Moshe. Moshe's mad. They left over. So why does it say the bad thing that happened, Avila? It should say they didn't listen to Moshe left over. Moshe's mad. Oh, and by the way, it all got rotted. It's not what the Pasuk says. It says they didn't listen to Moshe left over. It all got rotted and Moshe got mad. Michal, you like the kasha?
He was looking at the... What does everyone have to say before?
He got mad before it rotted. It got rotted. Fakir, once it rotted, he doesn't have to be mad anymore. The problem is they left over. But it says it rotted and Moshe gets mad.
Maybe I feel like if it said it the other way, it would sound like it rotted because Moshe got mad.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, it's just funny what it says. It rotted, then now he's all mad. I mean, Hashem took care of the problem. There's no reason to be mad now. It's funny that it says the entire story. They leave it over. It rotted. And Moshe was very mad at them. Eh? It's too late. They got punished.
Not a reason to be mad now. Just out of order. There's still a reason to be mad after it got rotted. He's mad because
but they were punished. It didn't work what they did.
He's still mad. They didn't rely on it.
Okay, and they learned their lesson.
Still mad they didn't do that.
But once you bleed, you hold to that guy yelling at him. He learned the lesson. That rotted.
Still mad. I don't know.
You're asking that it's the wrong place or where it should be mad.
Both things I'm asking.
First thing is it's fully out of order.
It's fully out of order. And you're saying, it's out of order, but he still could be mad. I would just think, like, there's nothing to be mad anymore. You were mad they left over. They learned the lesson. Like, they left over for a reason, and it didn't work. Like, end the story. There's no reason to be mad anymore. It, like, worked out. Hashem was mad. It's funny. Like, Hashem was mad. I mean, he didn't let it work. Zehu.
He's not mad. He wants to punish him. He's like, Hashem got you. Now I'm not mad.
Whatever you're mad is Musser. They learned the Musser. I mean, they did something and it all got ruined. It was foiled. And they were told. Hashem yelled at them. Moshe also yelled. Hashem yelled at them. Vayiktsayf, so what's it bringing his anger? Hashem patched them. You know Pshat?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who said that was a punishment that it got rotten?
What?
I don't know, that was a punishment that it got rotten.
I assume.
If it was a punishment, they wouldn't get the next day, no?
What?
It's not a punishment, it's just like, you can't have it.
But it's funny, that trick didn't work. I mean, they were trying to leave over to have stuff and they didn't have anything. It didn't help. But they were trying not to rely on Hashem and they got nailed. It didn't work. It all just turned disgusting.
Wouldn't it be more logical to not get one the next day?
Like, not only Hashem still gave. That's amazing. You're right, that's amazing. And Hashem still gave them. Good. Hashem still loves Yidden even when they make mistakes. But here, like, there's no... Hashem patched them. It didn't work their trick. They have to rely on Hashem. They woke up the next morning. They were trying not to have to rely on Hashem. You have to rely on Hashem. Moshe got mad. Vayiktsev alei Moshe. Moshe was mad at them. That's the translation. Vayiktsev alei Moshe. Doesn't say Moshe's mad at them. Vayiktsev alei Pashtus is their breach. He's... Avi's bothered about this whole Vayiktsev. He's mad at them. Yeah, maybe for lack of betochen. It's funny. The next pasuk is we're busy with the Chama Hashemish v'namas. This is unzur sugis. Mamish this pasuk. Kitzer Rabbi say what I want to suggest. It's not my. I don't think it's not my own pshat. I want to suggest that Moshe was not mad. They're breaching betochen. That's not what happened. Because I should have said they left over, and then he's mad. Every single day, Klal Yisrael had a nesayin not to leave over. It was a big nesayin. And we have a mitzvah, Hashem, al yisim enad baiker. When these people left over, and now it all rotted, there's no longer a nesayin not to leave over. They busted the whole Nisaya. Now, look, it doesn't help to leave over. Now we're stuck. Moshe Rabbeinu was happy. Klal Yisrael had the opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim nightly. Every single night, we have a tzivli. Don't leave over. It's very tempting to leave it. Nope. Nope. Get rid of it all. It's very tempting. Once these people weren't Baitchim in Hashem, and when they left over, it all rotted, Bayikselei Maishi was upset because of what happened. He said, you took away the Nisayan from Am Yisrael. You hurt the entirety of our people. Now there's no Nisayan. Maybe I'll sneak and leave over. It doesn't help to leave over. So Vayikzvalei Maisha is you took away the Nisayim from Am Yisrael. Look what you did after the Einish. You got Pachulaki B'tachim. But you weren't Baitchim now. We who were living with faith in Hashem. Now you made it. Now the question is, why did Hashem do it? Klal Yisrael had the opportunity of Kiddush Shemayim. When they left over and revealed that it doesn't help to do your over a shtadla, so he's upset that now this lesson, this opportunity of Kiddush Shemayim is no longer. It reminded me of your story with Reb Zusha a little bit. But the opportunity now, like these Rishonim leave over, we all learn, like there's no point in defying Hashem. Well, before, Maisha said you took away this opportunity. Before we were Mekadesh Shemayim, And each night we had the chance to say, maybe if I leave over Taka, the Rabbanu Shalom Sal Yisim and Ad Baiker. Once they come along and it doesn't help to defy Hashem, now all of Klal Yisrael sees, these Rishayim trained us, it doesn't help to defy Hashem, they took away the Nisayan. Perhaps. Yeah.
It only happened once?
Yeah, that's it. Once it happened, nobody else ever had another. What's the Nisayan now? Of course, Al Yosef, when we defy, it's not going to work anyway. Yanka, maybe you'll play something nice for the Chevra. Are you in that space? Come, Yanka.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, come on, I don't care.
You like that shot at me? Interesting, maybe. It fits much better than the Einesh was what got him upset. You ruined our whole. It is. But Avi's right. It does strike me, Maishi. It does strike me. It's very striking, and I want to point this out. Maisha's mad at them. It's very striking. Did he give them mussar? Like, what's this? He's mad. I'm bemis. Like, what's happening? It's like an interesting. What's ma balulamdeno? Unless it's just teaching us, we look at Nisyanus as bad. Maisha said, we lost the Nisyan. It's funny. Maisha said he gave them mussar. He shried at them. Like, Let's hear.
Is that a poor answer to say it teaches us how to have a good time? Is that a poor answer?
Maybe.
To fix the writing, because it says that as an explanation of the story rather than as a part of the story.
Right. Well, according to this, also that was opportunity. I was bothered when you asked that, Kash. I am bothered. Like, really, it's like the Torah's your funny pasuk. He gives muster to this one, and he's upset. Let's hear Yankov Chevra.
What are you feeling?
I haven't even spoken this morning.
Me.
Hold me steady. show me the path. Don't try to run. And the weight on my back, it's just me and the sun. Oh, I see the finish line in the distance, but I won't listen to your voice. I wanna know, I wanna know what it's like to reap what I sow. I need to see, I need to see what it's like to believe in the words I spoke. So tell me that I've got that it's obvious to everyone but me. Tell me it ain't me. Tell me everyone already knows the things I don't believe. I've got a
what's Maisha's song, Chevra? What's the song again? No, no, Maisha's Erica, that the guy sings.
Erica.
Something to you.
I know.
See it in your eyes.
My sweet boy, something else. Love.
Yeah, I can just start playing.
Let me do one more song. One last song, then I'm coming.
I don't even know how it goes. Honestly, I get greedy, but I'll try to remember how it goes.
Who knows the guys know? Maish, that was amazing.
Wake up, my love.
Wake up, my love. Guys know, wake up, my love. Wake up, my love, and that's it. Yeah, you know, wake up, my love, right? Yuri, wake up, my love. Let's go.
Rally, you know how it goes. You know how
wake
it goes
up, my love. Rally, come.
Rally, is the same thing.
heart, I know that I'm already home. And even though I may feel like I'm alone, in my heart I know that I'm already home. Da-da-da.
Say we'll stop now. There'll be a minion for Mincha. There'll be minion for Mincha at 5:15, Chevra. Rabbi, you with me? 5:15. Aaron, 5:15. Minion for Mincha. Let me figure. I gotta be. Told me not. Are you not? 5:15.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.